John chapter 17. I'm going to read the first five verses. John chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, I started 2 weeks ago, because we didn't have church last week, and I talked about the power, and that Christ has power over all flesh. Not some, not most, all flesh. But this power is, speaking of here, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. It's very specific. It's very plain. I went back into John 6 because that was the one that really hit me hard when I was reading it. And then after that, I started watching HBO. I got to quit doing that. Because if you get into John 6, it says, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, or except it be given him of my Father. And that got me hard, because that was the first time I had actually run into that. And by his help, I got over it and read it the second time in John 6 and said, no, I already settled that. I'm not going to get into that argument again. But then I go home and I watch the tail end of a movie, The Golden Compass. And at the end you have it's a fantasy movie. I just saw the end of it. But you have Sam Elliott in a cowboy hat riding a blimp, okay? Which is enough to get my attention, okay? I like Sam Elliott, you know, in a big mustache, cowboy hat, and a Henry rifle shooting at things, you know, that are trying to tie up a talking polar bear. But anyhow, at the end of the movie, I just saw like the last, you know, the big fight scene in the last 5 minutes. At the end of the movie, there's a woman who is a witch, a good witch though. They were the Air Force in the movie. Okay, talking along with Sam Elliott in his blimp. Talking with Sam Elliott as they're on their way, and the woman is telling him that there's a war coming. And it's your war too, pointing at Sam Elliott. And the war is, it's all about free will. And see, these people want to take it away from us, so we got to fight. And you got to fight to keep your free will. If it's free, how can they take it away from you? Anyway, then I watched, what the world was it? Something yesterday, Deb and I watched TV. And again, it comes up. Oh, it was a horror movie. I remember now. And the guy's on the phone. It's a haunted hotel room. And the guy's on the phone, and it's an evil room is what it is. And the guy's on the phone talking to the whatever. And he says, why don't you just kill me? Well, all our guests are subject to free will. But you may take our express checkout, which would mean you could jump out the window. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And other than that, that was a really scary movie. But I kind of had to laugh, thinking, oh, yes, you have the free will to jump out a window. Well, that part's true. You can go down, but you can't go up. Anyhow, we got up to this part here where Christ says, and this is one of the things in the book of John you'll find. There are several instances where John has written down where Christ said, this is.
Yeah.
Okay? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom Christ, God has sent.
Amen.
Now, I like that. That's the work you do, but that's also the work of God.
Amen.
First.
Right.
It's his work. This is life eternal. This is another one. Christ told Martha before he went to the grave of Lazarus. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he said, believest thou this? That's good stuff. Some people say that eternal life is to live forever. That's part of it, I suppose. I prefer personally to say that eternal life is to be alive forever. Because before eternal life, all we were was dead. Walter, that whole thing where Paul talks in Romans 7, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That part's gone forever. Okay, we haven't received again the spirit of bondage to fear. But no, we can approach the throne and say, Abba, Father. There's still a war in my members, but while you're at war, you're not dead.
Right.
Dead people don't have this war. I remember an expression a college teacher used one time. He was late for a class. He said, I was sitting up in my office, fat, dumb, and happy. That's the way I was before the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. I was happy. I didn't have any problems. I mean, you know, other than the normal things about what in the world I'm going to do. But, you know, I was going along enjoying my life for the most part. And then after, I had struggles I never knew before. But I didn't mind. That's the good thing about it. Even my being miserable sometimes seemed to make other people happy. That was in the conversion thing, the beginning of conversion. And it seemed to be a trend. That's what I was worried about. But what does it mean to be alive forever? Christ gives it to us here. This is eternal life. To know God and to know Christ. Whom God sent. And the question is, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know the one who said, no man can come unto me? Because that's the one I had to bow to. That's the one everyone has to bow to. Do you know the Christ who said, you cannot come to me? And he also said, you will not come to me. And created a stir every time he said it. In John 6, it says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. This is a deal breaker. It is. It really is. We found that out in another place, Roy, didn't we? They'll have a lot of things, but they don't like this. Whenever there's a discussion of points among any who consider themselves Calvinist, I remember Fred Kinzer come to Walter and I one day on a bench. We were sitting there, and he said, Spurgeon was a four-pointer. You know that? No, I didn't. I mean, I didn't know what a point was at the time. And he said, but he said it with a, so I said, well, that's nice, you know. You know, what do you say? I found out what the points were, and I found out the point they always leave out. And that's the one under the tulip that is called limited atonement, or Earl called it particular redemption, which I do like. But if you would call limited atonement, I don't have a problem with that.
No.
It's not limited in power. It is limited in scope as to as many as thou hast given me. That's the limitation. And it's not put on by me, and it's not put on by you. It's put on by this book.
Amen.
By the words of Christ himself as recorded here. But that's the Jesus Christ we need to know. Do you know the Christ Jesus who came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance? If Christ Jesus gives you eternal life, you will know God and Christ. And the beauty of it is, you will know Christ, and it won't matter what he says. And it won't matter at first whether you like it or not, because you may not at first. A little bit of well, you know, there's still what they call the old man. Rebellion is still there. But you will believe it. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe Walter. But you have to believe him. You do not have to believe me except where I agree with the scriptures. Because after that, then we'll fight. You know, if you've got a problem with that. But I'll fight in the scriptures. This is what it says. And that's what it means. And even then, you have to believe what the scriptures say about Christ.
Right.
Believers come to know and to believe many things about Jesus Christ. But that's only because believers have been made alive.
Mm-hmm.
They will come to know God and Christ. When it comes down to the question, and that's why I went into John 6, because that was my personal question. There are tests for faith, which means there are tests for your life to make your calling and election sure. Believers will stand with Christ because he has made them alive. And they know him. He calls them by name, and it doesn't stop there. It says, they follow me.
Yeah.
Believers come to find out, unlike some people that write us letters, it's not what you believe, it's whom you believe. The person that you believe is a person that you trust. Christ has the power to give eternal life. Christ has the power to reveal himself to each and every believer. He has the power over all flesh to save his people from their sins. He has the power to give eternal life to his people, and his people will know, follow, and believe him, and love him.
Yeah.
Believers come to Christ. Believers want to know him. And when his people are given the gift of life from the Holy Spirit, there is a change. And this change is real. And as Christ says here, this change is eternal.
Right. Yeah.
Eternal. I don't understand eternal. To be honest, I am 50 years old right now. I didn't expect to make it this far. I really didn't, seriously. God converted me. I was 23 years old. That was 27 years ago. That was a long time ago, Walter. But I haven't changed in my thoughts toward Christ yet. I don't think I will. Hopefully I will never lose my mind, because it's about all I have left. Okay? I got problems with kidneys. I got problems with my back. But I don't have any problems with Jesus Christ. I don't have any problems with God. I don't have any problems with Him. With me, there's all kinds of problems. But with Him, nothing. They want to learn, believers want to learn, that Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. Because He does. They want to learn that He gives eternal life to as many as the Father has given Him, because it's something Christ does. Believers want to know Christ because Christ saved them. And that's where it comes in. What has happened is nowhere as important as who made it happen. In John 17, we are given a glimpse into the work of Jesus Christ as He prays to the Father. Christ was to be glorified as He was in the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld Him. By golly, that's a miracle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of, well, epic proportions. Christ had been glorified, and He was to be glorified again. Christ has power over all flesh. Christ gives life to as many as the Father has given Him. Christ had a work the Father gave Him to do. And He got it done.
Yeah.
He finished that work. Now, when we are given life eternal, we are given the very Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit comes and indwells the believer. Paul states it this way: now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now the things of the Spirit of God are not foolishness, but that's the way the natural man sees it. Neither can he know them, another can he can't do, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I love that scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 16. We have the mind of Christ. I remember being in the army in Germany, and well, yeah, I've been through the story where I tell you about, I used to be Catholic, okay? I joined the Army when I was 17. I went over to Germany in October of 1976, or September of 76. Because I had my 18th birthday in Germany. I went to church twice during basic training to get away from drill sergeants. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about, okay? You talk about free will, the Army tried to take it away from you. That's no lie, brother. That's what they do, and they're good at it. I went to Germany, and I never went to church. I had a buddy by the name of Donnie Wade, and he took me to it was a Protestant service. And I remember going, and I sat there, and, you know, it was pretty... I mean, it wasn't wildfire or anything because it's an Army chaplain. But it was pretty tame, you know. And I always remember, see, because when I worked at the rec center on Sunday, we opened at 12. I had coffee. I'd put out coffee, a big old coffee pot like the one we got back here, and, like, Pop-Tarts and toast for the toaster and bread and, you know, and butter and jam. Well, the church crowd would come over right after church because it was just across the street. And they'd come in and get coffee and toast, and then they'd ask me if I was saved. And I'd say, I'm Catholic. And they usually left me alone. So since it worked, I just kind of used it. Because that stuff that they were talking about, as far as I knew, I thought it was foolishness. Seriously. And probably it was foolishness. I mean, more than likely, I don't know that any of them knew the truth. I have no inclination, even my buddy. I really don't. I know he went. And he was actually a lot nicer than most of the people that did go. And just about everybody who didn't go. Because he was a nice guy. Because he could put up with me. And we were friends, you know, through, you know, 2.5 years over there. But I went with him once. I never went again. But I do remember, and then, you know, them talking about this stuff, and I'm thinking, you know, that, you people are crazy. But I was a natural man then.
Sure.
And to the natural man, anything of God,
right,
is truly of God, is foolishness.
Right.
Okay? There's a lot of natural religion out there that we used to go to. Didn't know the difference at the time. I didn't. And when we talked about God doing what he wanted, when he wanted, where he wanted, people just, you know, it caused a stir. Now, in the religious neighborhood, it caused almost to the point of violence. There's a lot of anger anyway. You know, I tapped a fellow on the arm, was going to shake his hand and say goodbye, and he turned around with his fist balled up. Mm-hmm. Because of what we said.
Right, because of what we said.
And our poor way of saying it, at least enough to get the point across at that time, they hated it.
Yeah.
But to the natural man, it's foolishness. To the religious man, is a stumbling block. And they don't like hitting their shins on things. You know? That's what a stumbling block is. It's something you trip over. And usually a stumbling block's not, it's not a little pebble. It's a block. And you bark your shins on it and you get up mad. Especially if you thought somebody put it in your way. But this is eternal life, that they might know thee. Them that worship God are to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's because we know him in spirit and in truth that we can worship. That's why rituals don't matter.
Right.
That's why priestly robes do not matter, even if worn by Baptists. That's why choir robes don't matter. That's why this building we gather in doesn't matter. And that's why whether or not we have a piano doesn't matter.
Right.
Nothing matters except Jesus Christ and His words.
Amen.
That we have here.
Amen.
God matters, Jesus Christ matters, and the Holy Spirit matters to believers.
Yeah.
Everything else is secondary. Now, I like this building. We need to keep it up. We put the little pillars in the basement. We need to put some lattice work up and stuff. But that's not why we're here. That's why people who do not know God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent, get into arguments, get into fights, get into disputes, and sometimes split churches over a piano. It's over nonsense. They don't know God and they don't understand the true state of man. Everything else is secondary except Christ.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't understand at the time I read it that man was incapable of coming to Christ until I read it in the Gospel according to John. Now, since I have come to accept and believe this, I'll see it everywhere in the Scriptures.
Right.
Here, John 17. He has power over all flesh, and He should give eternal life to as many as God gave Him. I see it everywhere. I see it in the Old Testament. Of course, I see grace in the Old Testament too. They didn't save anybody by law. That was something else. But I didn't understand this until I read it in the Gospel according to John. And I came to believe it. But it's there, all over the Scriptures. Christ is true, and every man is a liar. My personal crisis was resolved when I realized that I didn't have anywhere else to go. There was no one else to turn to. Christ was the one who saved me, and He's the only one I had to listen to. I believed Christ. I couldn't leave Him, and I wanted to follow Him. And now, some 27 years later, I still want to follow Him.
Yeah.
I'm still here. And by God's grace, I'm not going anywhere. Though the entire world may say different, no matter what movies on HBO say, I still trust Him. The world loves darkness, but I love light. That's a spooky thing, you come to realize it. It really does. What you believe will ultimately be determined by who you believe. It's not the other way around. What you believe is determined by who you believe. Knowledge is gained with experience and study and listening to those who do know the truth. Romans 8:16 puts it this way: the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I know this from experience. It is true. And the question is, when you're confronted with your own personal beliefs and they seem to be at odds with the truth of this book, where do you go?
Right.
To whom
right.
do you go?
Yeah.
And whom do you believe? I believe Christ. And that's the only place I have to stand. But having done all, stand. That's good words. Our Heavenly Father, we are